This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Out of a prison, and I don't know if you've ever been there or you know someone that's been there, or maybe you've ever watched the movie, like a prison movie. When everyone comes to the yard, when everyone comes to the yard, what happens? Everyone's on his toes. There's me and him. There's us and them. Very gangster style, very gangster mentality. And something, my brothers, we all need to understand, wallahi. This masjid, whether it be Masjid An-Nur or any other masjid, is the house of Allah. This place, no matter what you feel in your heart, belongs to Allah.
You have to talk a particular way. Yeah, anyway, it comes to Allah, you're not going to believe it, brother. Anyway, so the guy walked in and then that came out.
On. This place belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. This place is a sanctuary for the believers. You see those doors? Everyone is welcome through those doors. Everyone. So long as you're a abid, you're a slave of Allah, Muslim or non-Muslim, you have every right to enter that door, like I have every right, like you have every right. This is Allah's house, man. And the Muslim, when he comes to Allah's house, he comes to feel safe. He comes to connect back to his Rabb. He comes because in the house of Allah, there's no politics. In the house of Allah, there's no us and there's no them. In the house of Allah, there's we. When we come here, we lower all our guards. We don't raise them. When I walk through those doors, I humble myself because now I'm in the presence. Of course, we're always in the presence of Allah. And it's not to say that, you know, when I enter, it's not to say that Allah is physically, a'udhu billah, no. But when I enter those doors, I've entered Allah's home, Allah's house. And in Allah's house, my brothers, everyone needs to understand. We need to understand. You see everyone here? And this is, yani really, let's be real. Huh? Let's not jumble our words. Sometimes you come to the masjid and there's a guy who comes to the masjid, he frustrates the hell out of you. Wallahi, there are people who avoid a particular mosque because of an individual that prays there. And sometimes, my brothers, because we're human and we always forget, we tend to forget not only is this Allah's house, but every person who walks in those doors is Allah's guest. Whose guest is he? Allah's guest, man. So regardless of how you feel in your heart, ya Allah. Who? Mine? The Sheikh? Or us? Whose role is? And in Allah's house, we all stand equal. Ever seen how we stand for salah? How do we stand? Is anyone better than anyone in salah? Can some prostrate and some not? You stand in one row. Prophet of Allah says, ankle to ankle and shoulder to shoulder, do not leave gaps, do not allow shaitan to enter. Who's shaitan in this particular scenario? Who, that little red devil with the horns and the stick? You think he's going to walk in through the mosque and walk in through those gaps? Which shaitan are we talking about? Shoulder to shoulder. Why? That's my brother, man. Ankle to ankle. Why? That's my brother. And we connect like a chain. We stand as one unit. Before Allah, man, no one's better than no one here, brother. No one. We don't have that. You move away. This is dunya. In here, there's none of that. In here, we connect. We have shoulder to shoulder and ankle to ankle. And you prostrate your head on the floor. Who's in front of you? Someone else's feet. But it all doesn't matter. Why? Because it's all for Allah. And many of us, wallahi, in our hearts, I'm sure I'm touching a nerve with everyone, that yeah, bro, wallah, you're right. How come the masjid doesn't feel like this? Whose role is it to make the masjid feel like this? Who? Mine? The sheikh? Or us? Whose role is it? This is our role, man. When my brother walks in, I smile in his face. The Prophet of Allah, he says what? It's ajeeb, man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make salat ala Rasulullah, what are you, stingy? The Prophet of Allah says he is a miser. He is a miser. He is stingy. In our language, he is a tight ass. The one who hears my name and doesn't make salat on me. Why would you deprive yourself? Man salla alayhi. Whoever makes salat ala Rasulillah once, you make salat on him once, in the authentic hadith, Allah Azza wa Jal will make salat on you 10
cars. But these things that they have, these nice watches and these nice brand names, and how do you think these people make this money? How? How?
Prophet of Allah, he says what? He says none, and we highlight the word none, huh? None of you will enter Jannah until you believe. None will enter Jannah until you believe. And none of you will truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. This hadith, depending which angle you come from, can cause a lot of controversy. And there's a very good chance I'm gonna cause it here tonight. None of you will have iman. None of you will truly believe until what? Say it out loud. There's no. Until when will I truly believe in the? As far as the Rasulullah is concerned, when will I truly believe? When? Who knows? When I love for my brother what I love for myself. Take this particular angle. Many of the scholars are of the opinion that the ukhuwa, that the brotherhood that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is speaking about,
he's selling a product. He knows it's killing our community. You know, wallahi, my brothers, we live in bubbles. Wallah, we live in bubbles. You and I, we think what?
Yeah, man. Some of these guys, wallahi, I've had brothers tell me, brother, I don't know, man. Like, you know some of these guys, but they're on 10, 15.
He's your brother in humanity, whether you like it or not. And please, today, I want you to try and humble yourself and try to open up your mind, because I know what I'm about to say now. There's always one brother who's going to walk out and start spreading things like they have before. You know that Shi'i, you know that Alawi? He's your brother in humanity, whether you like it or not. And until you love for your brother what you love for yourself, you will never attain complete iman. What does everyone wish for himself? What do you wish for yourself? Firdaus al-A'la, Sohbat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We wish the companionship of Rasulullah. We wish guidance. We wish hidayah. We wish for ourselves rahmah. We wish for ourselves to be of the people who on the day of judgment, there's no accountability for them. Until you wish this for your brother, you will never contain full iman. Until you wish these things for your brother in humanity, like how I wish it for myself, you will never attain complete faith. And this is something, my brothers, though it's off my topic, let me touch on it. This kafir, or this person who, whatever, any person that you deem is deviant from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anyone, I don't care what he is. Sometimes he could be a Muslim. This person dies. Brother or sister, if they die in that condition, where are they going?
The Prophet of Allah, he tells us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, more or less, he says, your wealth, your rizq.
Hellfire! What, yani, is there another choice? In Akhirah, is there anything other than Jannah and hellfire, yani? One or the other, if you have gone astray, you are not on the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you die on this, you die with kufr in your heart, where do you go? I ask you, my brother, sincerely.
You don't do drugs, you will not earn $1 more than what Allah already predestined for you so many years ago.
You see, the believer has rahmah in his heart. Wallahi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even his enemy, there was a Jew who died, there was the janazah of a Jew, and the Prophet of Allah teed up, some tears fell down his face. So Sahaba asked, they said, the Prophet of Allah, you cry for a Jew? For a Jew? You know, in our language, that's the enemy. A Prophet of Allah, you cry for a Jew? He says, yes. Someone slipped out of my hands and I couldn't save him from the hellfire, man. And if he dies on kufr, if he dies on this facade, where's he going? You know, my brothers, you watch anyone. You know, I watched the video once. It's quite famous on YouTube, and I don't know if you've seen it. There was a rally where he just, anyway, this is not my actual topic, right? They were against the hijab, and they've had enough of the scarf, and have you seen the video? Yes. So they took off the hijab, and they're throwing the hijab, and this is it, we don't want this anymore, and if you watch the video, it's very, have you seen the video? Yes. So they took off the hijab, and they're throwing the hijab, and this is it, we don't want this anymore, and if you watch the video, it's very frustrating, you know? Yeah, and it's very, very normal, especially if you're an Arab. Hey, Arab, bro, anyone who has iman in his heart, it's very, very frustrating to watch. Now, why are these women doing this, you know? Anyway, subhanAllah, man. One of them who took off her hijab, she wanted to burn it. So she pours, I don't know, some petrol or kerosene. I don't know what it was. So she had a bottle. So she pours it on it. And then she puts it down. And then her friend comes to, you know, cut a long story short, they catch fire, all of them. This is real, real, real. And in the beginning, you think, sucked into you. That's what you wanted, isn't it? And then you watch her for a few minutes and you watch him burn. You think, Allahu Akbar, enough, man, it was a mistake. Wallahi, like just you, huh? Like in the beginning, it was so frustrating, you wish it upon him. But then when it actually happens and you see her burning, and she starts crying and she's burning, and wallahi, it rips your heart out. And khalas, enough. 2 minutes of watching her burn. This was someone who had a problem with hijab, right? It makes your heart cry. What do you think Allah is going to do to these people for eternity? Anyway, let's come back to my topic. Until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. What does the Prophet of Allah say? You will never have full faith. And then he says something amazing. Today, my brothers, we think for this ummah to have unity, we need to get all the mashayikh on board, and everyone needs to follow the one madhab, and everyone needs to start coming to the one masjid. Wrong, 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 wrong. Prophet of Allah says what? He says, shall I tell you something? If you do it, you would have love amongst one another. Sahaba said, yes, O Prophet of Allah, tell us. He says, give salams to one another. Give what? Give salams to one another. And before we finish, I want to fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let's stand up, inshallah, and give salams to one another. Stand up now, inshallah ta'ala. And give salams to your brother. And don't just give salams to the one you know. No, give salam to the person you don't know. Get out of your way, smile in his face, and hug him. Assalamualaikum. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I want to ask you something sincerely. How does your heart feel now after doing something as simple as that? Look at the smile on his face. Did you need a scholar to tell you this? Did you need a sheikh to tell you this? Wallahi, my brothers, to bring mahabba back into this ummah, whose job is it? Wallahi, it's our job. And it's something as simple as when I see my brother, I smile in his face and I give him salams. The Prophet of Allah, he says what? Smiling in the face of your brother is a charity. Just to smile in his face. You know, one time we were collecting some money for some charity, right? Anyway, so we made the announcement and my brother shoe and... And my job was to hold the box, you know, because at me, he says, listen, brother. Yes, I don't have money, man. You don't have to give money, brother. It's just, yes, I don't have money. But you know what I do have? I said, tomorrow brings in the mahabba. Anyway, let's move on because I really want to get into depth about this topic of loving. And we know, my brothers, in the authentic hadith,
we're going to throw into the package. If someone else like me comes along, I'll deal with him for you.
The Prophet of Allah, he tells us what? He tells us that there are seven categories on the day of judgment, seven categories that will be under the shade of Allah on a day when there is no shade except his shade, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seven. One of them in specific, you know who they are? Two people who loved one another for no other reason other than for the pleasure of Allah. They loved one another, not because, wallah, you know, I know this bloke, he has a lot of money, and if I ever need him, you know, I can count on him. No. Not because, wallah, he has a hectic car, and if I ever need to borrow his car, then I can... No. There was no reason in their heart. Today, my brothers, in the society that we live in, wallahi, we have friends with benefits. Friends with benefits. You choose your friends very wisely. How can I benefit from this bloke? Well, I look the size of him, Zahadan Amili Atli, bro, and I give this like a call. Khalas, finished, done, problem solved.
Yeah, brother, they should. Wallahi, this, look, this is how Allah destroys people. This is how. Brother, he's a shoei, brother, he's a shoei.
He's a town to visit his brother. Allah Azza wa Jal sends down an angel. You know, my brothers, just think about it. This isn't a Nabi. It's not a prophet. It's not a messenger. It was a man. Prophet of Allah tells us of a man who left his house and says to him, where are you going? The man says, well, I've gone to visit my brother. He says, then why are you going to visit your brother? Is there anything there? Do you owe him some money? Does he owe you money? What? Does he have a pretty daughter? He has a pretty sister. Why are you going there? For the same reason that you love him. Allah Azza wa Jal loves you. Allah sent an angel that has been sent down by Allah to tell you that Allah loves you. Allah loves you. Judgment, Allah will call out. Allah will call out and say, where are those? Where are those who loved one another purely for my sake? Where are they? Allah is calling out. Where are those believers who loved each other purely for my sake?
This guy's on our doorstep. Now we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be inviting these people and calling them to hack and calling them. Now what are we doing? We're putting it on them and what? And I'm like,
where are they? For today they will be under my shade on a day when there is no shade except my shade. The Prophet of Allah is speaking to Sahaba. Speaking to Sahaba in the authentic hadith. He says on the day of judgment, imagine my brothers on the day of resurrection, the day of fear, the day of darkness, the day of confusion. People are naked, uncircumcised, barefooted. The sun will be a mile above your head with no light. People cannot see. People are running around scared, frantically. Prophets are... There will be a position. There will be a status. There will be pillars of light, pillars of nur, and there will be a maqam there.
But even the sisters now, what do they want? Who knows? I want it.
He said, no, it's not. That position on the day of judgment will be for those who loved one another purely for the sake of Allah. But again, my brothers, this is not my topic. My topic really, my brothers, is we have come and we have reached a point where it's not mahab, it's not a sunnah. I'm not talking to you that, oh, it's sunnah, that it's encouraged, that the Prophet of Allah is encouraging the ummah to love one another. No. It is an issue of iman, my brothers. For those who cannot find forgiveness in their hearts for their brothers. Wallahi, my brother, and please, this is the cream of my talk now. If you die, and you have something in your heart towards your brother, wallahi, I fear that you will stand before Allah on day of the, you know, on the day of judgment, and you'll be in a world to hurt, man. This is iman. A believer that they don't talk to. I repeat, every brother and every sister.
From the sisters, they love it. They love a brother whose tattoo just happens to go past his sleeve. Why? You can still
sister has at least, well, if it's up to us, come in, there's a whole list of them. There's at least one individual in your life that you either don't talk to, or that you have problems with, or that you struggle in your heart to forgive. And wallahi, my brothers, I'm telling you, if you die with this in your heart, you're in a world to hurt. Because my brothers, in truth, like we touched on last week, and forgive me, you know, but really, who do you think you are? What is it that your brother or your sister have done that is so great in your heart that you can't forgive? Hey, forgiveness, Malesh, today I'm going to really touch some nerves, I know, man. I'm not talking about, he bumped into me in the salah. Oh, it's okay, brother. It's okay. I forgive you. No. We're talking about the really painful stuff. The really painful stuff. The Prophet of Allah, he says what, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, have rahmah. Have rahmah and forgiveness amongst one another, so that the one in the heavens can have rahmah and forgiveness upon you. Those who forgive one another, Allah Azza wa Jal will have forgiveness on them on the Day of Judgment. And this is something, my brothers, again, I have to stress, because I know what's going to happen after the talk. I'm going to have a whole line of people to tell me, yeah, but cuz, you don't understand. Let me tell you how bad this brother is and how wicked this sister is and how much they hurt me and how much they affected me. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, I don't care what the crime is. Forgive. Not for their sake. Wallahi, for your own sake and for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because these are the topics that we don't like talking about. Talk to me about jihad. Talk to me about growing the beard. Talk to me about how heck.
I've heard this so many times. Brother, I wish I was married to the Prophet of Allah. Have you heard this?
Don't talk to me about the things that made this ummah different to every other ummah. Forgiveness and worse with Allah, and you are expecting in your heart that Allah is going to forgive, but you can't forgive someone in dunya. And this is something, my brothers, we have to understand. You know something, you know what I love about Sahaba? You know what I love about Sahaba?
Your husband here, because he doesn't take you to restaurants, you complain. Your husband, because he doesn't take you...
Angels, you know, that they never did anything wrong and that they were so perfect. And it, no, you know what? This is the opposite. People praise them too much in order, you know, wallah, in trying to increase their status. But I think that's the wrong thing to do. No, rather, if you expose how human they are, it shows you how great they really were. Why? Because Sahaba were like you and I. They differed. They got angry with one another. They performed haram. They fell in sin. Some companions committed zina in the presence. Not in his physical presence. But while Rasulullah was still alive. This is what's so beautiful about them. They were human beings. They had feelings. They had emotions. They had ups and downs. They were real men. And these are our fathers. And we need to watch and learn. Watch and learn. And one story, and really, you know, my brothers, wallahi, we say this every time. It's very important that when you hear a hadith or when you hear a story, it's not for entertainment purposes. Brother, you need to apply yourself in the story. Otherwise, what's the benefit? What, to entertain you? No, let me put a movie on. I want you to imagine now, after one of the battles, the Sahaba are sitting, they're victorious, booty of war, sheep, gold, silver, swords, shields. This stuff was worth a lot of money. Sahaba are sitting around and they're discussing amongst one another and how should we distribute. So who gives his opinion? Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Dharr, for those who don't know him.
Once. What side of the fence are we on, my brothers? Wallahi.
So Abu Dharr gave his opinion. Then the table turned and it fell upon Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who's Bilal? Bilal was a black slave who Abu Bakr freed and then reached, became the mu'addin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was a mujahid. Allahu Akbar, Bilal is of the highest ranks. So when Bilal, came time for Bilal to give his opinion, he says to Abu Dharr, he says to him, you know, Abu Dharr, look, I don't really agree with your opinion. I think this is what we should do. Ikhtilaf. We will always have differences of opinion. You see things a particular way and I see things a particular way. And sometimes, you know, this is something we need to understand. Abu Bakr and Umar ibn al-Khattab almost on every occasion differed. Almost on every occasion they had a difference of opinion. In fact, one time Umar ibn al-Khattab comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining. He says, the Prophet of Allah, Abu Bakr, is picking on me, man. He says, every time I say something, he says something completely opposite. Even you, you son of a black woman. Abu Dharr. Completely differences of opinion. Complete difference. But who are we both trying to please? Of course, who are we both trying to benefit? The Ummah. So Bilal says to Abu Dharr, he says to him, look, I disagree. So Abu Dharr got so angry. He says, even you, you son of a black woman. You know, my brothers, these are big words, man. Even you, you son of a black woman. Abu Dharr, Bilal, you're speaking to the mu'addin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this. You son of a black woman. Abu Dharr, this is exposing things in your heart, man. So what does Bilal do, my brothers? Bilal got so upset. He left the gathering and went straight to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now let me pause here for a minute. He's a big snitch. But look at the difference.
My thoughts over the last, maybe the last year. This community is drowning far more than you and I will ever imagine and comprehend and understand. The truth
is, cause fitna amongst him and his family and you and your family for the next 10 years. Because, wallah, you didn't want to be a snitch. Bilal goes straight to the Prophet of Allah. He says, "Our Prophet of Allah, Abu Dharr, said this about me." Ghadiba Rasul. He became so angry. The Prophet of Allah became so angry. He storms out, goes to Abu Dharr, grabs Abu Dharr and says, you are a man who still has jahiliyyah in his heart. What did Abu Dharr do? That little dog, did he go snitch on me? Is that what he did? Did he go expose me? This is our language, huh? Abu Dharr now realizing, Abu Dharr admits, realizes he's wrong. What does he do? He leaves the gathering, goes to the streets of Medina looking for Bilal. Then when he finds Bilal, he rushes to Bilal. He comes to Bilal, he puts his head on the floor and takes an oath by Allah. He says, wallahi,
next 20 years, they're not going to be able to help the condition that we're in. This ummah will not rise. This ummah will not change until every single one of them.
And which of us is the dishonored one? This was the environment of your fathers, man. Our real fathers. Not the one who hasn't spoken to his brother for 20 years because of inheritance problems. So what did Bilal do? Yeah, a little this and stomp on his head. Wallahi, he got down on his hands and knees. He kisses him on his head. He says, I love you and forgive you for the sake of Allah, man. Done, finished, dusted. Where are these qualities, man? I ask you something sincerely. Again, I don't care who the person is and I don't care what the crime is. Honestly, in your heart, don't you wish that on the day of judgment, when you stand before Allah, that Allah turns a blind eye and forgives you for all your sins? Don't you wish this? The Prophet of Allah, he says, forgive your brothers Sometimes you get a big boy who comes in. Big boy. I'm not looking at you personally, but yani a big boy that's like you, mashallah, comes in, and I'm a little boy. وبيطرع كاف واك بوم بيطيرك بيجيبك فيها سلطة bro. So you get up in your heart and you're burning, but you look at the brother, you think, يا الله بدي سلم لا أصلي man. So you put the nah, and I forgive him for the sake of Allah. You little spinner, you don't forgive him for the sake of Allah, but it's because
I give it away في سبيل الله. We give Allah scraps, and in return, what do we want? Firdaus al-A'la, inshallah, man.
Because you can't do anything about it. This is not the forgiveness we're talking about, no. The forgiveness we're talking about is when I have... That's the highest level of forgiveness. Let it go. Let it go. If you expect Allah to have mercy upon you, then let it go. Again, some of you are still thinking, but brother, what he did to me was so hard. Wallahi, whatever he did only happened by the qudra and the knowledge of Allah. Whatever they ripped, whatever they stole, whatever, however they harmed you, know that it all took place under the watchful eye of Allah, and it is all a test, and Allah is watching to see how you're going to deal with the problem. Don't worry about them. Allah will deal with them. Allah is just. Allah is just. Don't be seen. And an atom's way of bad will also be seen. Don't you dare think that Allah Azza wa Jalla, you see, Allah is the most forgiving, but Allah is just.
Find one of the many kids that's lost, has no big brother, his father. Why not take one of these kids and make him your pal, make him your buddy, take him with you, man.
Allah can forgive you for things you've done against him. Allah can choose to forgive you for not praying or not fasting. This is between you and Allah. But Allah, from his justice, will not forgive you for a harm you've done to me. The Prophet of Allah says what? I said today we're really going to put some salt to the wound. Rasulullah says what in the authentic hadith? He says every Thursday, all of our weekly actions are gathered and they're taken and they're presented before Allah. And Allah has forgiveness and mercy upon us. Except for the mushrikeen, except for those who have shirk in their hearts. And who else? And two people who don't talk to one another. Two Muslims who don't talk to one another. Two people who do not talk to one another. Allah says to the angels, do not raise their actions. I don't want to see it. And I don't, since then, or you've performed Umrah since then, or you've given so much money in charity since then, it all equals to nothing in the eyes of Allah. Allah hasn't even seen your actions. Allah says to the angels, stop their actions, withhold, hold it until they make peace. I told you it's an issue of iman. What does Allah want to see, man?
And my last thing, you've spoken much, my last thing. It's my brother, I don't care what you do.
I told you it's an issue of iman. What does Allah want to see, man? You've been wronged. They robbed you. They hurt you. She took your children. He took your children. He called you with this. She called you with that. Let it go. Oh Allah, for your sake. This is missing in our community, man. Today we stand in the masjid, in the house of Allah, with a big chip on my shoulder, with something in my heart towards the brother at the back there, or towards the brother at the front of the row, or towards the brother on the right of the row. And you think you're going to stand in Allah's house and you're sitting around in your heart. Is this what you think? And still some of you are convinced that, listen, brother, thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Beautiful talk, very nice, very emotional. But still, what this person did to me, brother, let me tell you something. Are we people of sunnah or not? Answer me, please. Are we people of sunnah or not? Yes? Are we followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? Tab, whose sunnah do we follow? What?
Brother, explain something to me. Me drinking alcohol is haram, yes or no?
Yes.
So that's one wrong. How does me, what is haq, what is batil, what is honor, and what is dishonor? Who?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My brother, whatever happened to you, whatever she said, whatever he said, whatever they did, whatever they took, cannot possibly compare. And please, this is something that the ummah doesn't understand. Wallahi, we're not realizing what makes the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam so special. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 13 years in Mecca, 13 years in Mecca, prosecution, hardship, they spat in his face, they threw dust in his face, they stoned him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they stoned him so much so in Ta'if, so much so they stoned him, the blood trickled down his face and legs, his leather sandals became stuck to his feet because of the blood. When he came to take his sandals off, he had to rip them off because of the blood that drew his sandals to his feet. 13 years, they stabbed his daughter. They stabbed her in the stomach.
Something he does, brother, you're a hypocrite, man. Why? You do this and you do this, you do that and you pray. So what does the brother end up doing?
Yeah, of course. First martyr, the first person to ever die for the cause of Allah, a woman. And Malish, forgive me, I know this is vulgar, I know this is raw, but sometimes if you don't display it like this, you miss the message. Imagine a woman, not a man, a woman, publicly, in front of everyone, in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she was grabbed, her legs were open, and a dagger was rammed into her private parts until she was killed. All this, 8 years in Medina, battle after battle, jihad, mocking him, belittling him, calling him a liar. You think these Karuns are bad? Wallahi, they have nothing on what they did to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nothing. Poetry. All this. Then when he comes back to Mecca with an army of 10,000 men, an army like they've never seen before. Now with victory on his side, he enters into Mecca. He lowered his head in humbleness, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so much so, his forehead was touching the back of his horse. And says, today the victory belongs to Allah. Today the victory belongs to Allah. And this has nothing to do with us. He enters into the haram. And now these people. He says to them, what do you think today I will do with you? Imagine, you know, my brothers.
Let's say drinking alcohol means that you can't pray for 40 days. Is it really worth it? Is that cup that you're going to drink, is that worth 40 days of your life? I can't pray.
To this masjid and we lock the doors on him. Yeah, and there's no law. And you could do whatever you want to him. This is some of us, we are that foolish. This is how we think. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with Allah on his side, an army of 10,000 men, and all the people of Mecca, all those people who harmed him and belittled him and mocked him. He says to them, what do you think I will do with you today? He says to them, اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. Go, all of you are free. I forgive every single one of you. Go, man. kuffar. And you can't find it in your heart to forgive your Muslim brother and your Muslim sister because of a stupid thing that happened a few years ago. Where's this sunnah in our life? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Khalid bin Walid. You know, sometimes my brothers, we only see glory. You know, we only hear of the nice juicy things. But really, have you ever thought? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who caused so much hardship, so much pain to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the battle of Uhud, single-handedly, Khalid bin Walid, single-handedly was the result for winning the fight, for winning the battle. One man destroyed the Muslim army. One man called Khalid bin Walid. Because of him, 70 of the greatest companions ever were killed and the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the uncle of Rasulullah was killed. Sahaba said, we never heard Rasulullah cry like he cried for his uncle Hamza. In narrations, the Prophet of Allah prayed janazah on his uncle Hamza 70 times. One man responsible, Khalid bin Walid. And in the 8th year, 2 or 3 years before the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khalid bin Walid embraces Islam. Now imagine you live in Mecca. I've accepted Islam. And I now have to go to Medina, the city where I killed 70 of their men, widowed 70 of their women, orphaned their children. Now I have to go there. Imagine what a daunting task this must have been for Khalid bin Walid. Yet when Khalid bin Walid entered the city of Medina, wallahi, the women and children ran to the streets in celebration. Welcome, Khalid, welcome. Welcome, Khalid, welcome. Khalid, we forgive you, man. In fact, you embracing Islam has brought us more joy. And you still can't forgive your brother and your sister. Two stories and I'll end with it. There's a Sahabi, my brothers, and I'm sure many of you haven't heard his name. Because, Kaman, we only know the big boys, you know, the Umar ibn al-Khattab, the Ali ibn Abi Talib, the Khalid bin Walid. Of course, all Sahaba ala Rasna and all of them. But then there's the, you know, there's the quiet achievers that we don't know their names. But wallahi, they hold ranks with Allah, man. The Prophet of Allah sitting in a gathering, Allahu A'lam gathering that was quite similar to this. And the Prophet of Allah was asking for charity. And anyone who's, wallahi, look, I'm sure one time or another in your life, you were there in the masjid, you were sitting somewhere when they were collecting money and you didn't have money and you were burning in your heart. Has anyone been in this? Wallahi, you wish, ya Allah, I wish I had $1 million. Wallahi, I'd give it all to Allah. But you're going through some financial situation and in your heart, you're burning about the fact you can't help. So Rasulullah is asking for money. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was giving big money. Abu Bakr gave big money. Umar ibn al-Khattab gave big money. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, big money. So this sahabi, you know, he's sitting there and ya Allah, he's dirty, dirty, dirty. He's dying. He says, oh Allah, I have nothing, nothing. I own nothing. Ya Allah, I have nothing to give. But he wanted to give so much. The Sahabi's name is Abu Damdam. Please remember his name. Teach it to your children. So Abu Damdam, that night, as the Prophet was collecting the money from the Sahaba sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Damdam in his heart, he says, oh Allah, I have no money to give you. But on this day, oh Allah, I sacrifice my ard, I sacrifice my rights. Whatever rights I have, Whatever privileges I have with my ummah, with my Muslim brothers, today I give it up for your sake in charity. Yeah, and if a Muslim swears at me, I won't swear back, nor will I get upset because I don't have any more rights. I've given it up for your sake. He did this on his own in his heart. The next morning, the Prophet of Allah sitting in a gathering, he says, where is the one? Where is the one who gave something up in charity with Allah in secret yesterday? Imagine you were this companion. No one heard it. It was between me and Allah. And the next day, Rasulullah is saying, who is the companion who gave up his rights to Allah yesterday? Who is he? Where is he? Imagine Abu Damdam is sitting there, he's thinking, ya Allah, how embarrassing is this? I didn't have money, this was private, it was personal, why are you exposing me? Prophet of Allah insisting, where is he? So Abu Damdam, embarrassed, he says, oh, Prophet of Allah, it is I made this. He says, by Allah, Allah has accepted your charity last night. Allah accepted your charity last night. And Rasulullah ﷺ, for years after this, when the big Sahaba used to fight amongst one another and disagree with one another, he used to say to them, and can't you all be like Abu Damdam? Can't you people be like Abu Damdam, Ba'ah, man? Just let it go, man. Whatever rights, let it go. Be like Abu Damdam. Inshallah, forgive me, I know you're tired. Last story, and I'll end with this story. Last one, wallahi. This is the really juicy one, this song, and I've left the best for last. There's a companion, his name is Abdullah ibn Amr. Does anyone know him? Yes? What's his father's name? Amr, Amr what? Who knows? Amr ibn al-As. Amr? Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Amr. One of the four Abadila. One of the young soldiers of Allah. Young, his name was Abdullah. Big Abid. Big Abid. Big worshipper of Allah. In fact, and Malish, this is important. I'm not saying this to entertain you. It's important so you can understand the gist of the hadith at the end. Very important to know who is this Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. One of the greatest ubad that ever came. In narrations, the age, the gap between him and his father, the gap between Abdullah and his father Amr, who knows? 11 years. His father had him when he was 11 years old. Today the brother's 30, he's still not married. Shukaz, what's happening? Biliwala, I'm still young. You're still young? He's still young? Amr ibn al-As had his son Abdullah at the age of 11. Today he's 24, still playing Sony PlayStation. 11 years old, in some narrations, 11 years between him and his son Abdullah. And Amr ibn al-As is one of the great companions of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just to show you Abdullah, this young boy, biggest abid, just worship. Junoon, it was just crazy. Crazy worship to Allah. His father Amr ibn al-As had to force him to get married. The brothers are looking at me, ya Allah, man, I wish I can get married. His father had to force him. Authentic narration. He was forced to get married. Listen to this. Forced to get married. Young man. Imagine, you know, sometimes these people are real. They're humans. You know, Abdullah, most likely never seen a woman in his life. I mean, living in Medina. All of them are either covered or they have, like, it's not like here. Today they come to the masjid, standing outside having a cigarette. Did you see that last time? Sisters, outside here having a cigarette. And you're laughing, thinking how, brothers out there in front of the door, smoking a cigarette. Have you no adab? Have you no akhlaq? Have you nothing with Allah in front of the masjid? And having a laugh. Imagine this young man, Abdullah, never seen a woman. His father forces him to get married. Come the wedding night, the brother's smiling at me. Imagine, young man, you've never seen a woman before. His bride, Sunnah, she's fixed herself up. My husband's coming. Abdullah prays Isha and comes home. Young bride, beautiful, lavished up, all dressed. She's waiting for him there in the bedroom. So he comes in, he says, look, Malash, you know, do you allow me to pray two rakat? Allah, look, honestly, all jokes aside. Really, because I know there's Sahaba and all adab for Sahaba. So let's put the story aside. Imagine I came to you and I said to you on my wedding night, I came to my wife and I told her, let me pray two rakat. You look at me like that. Shubak jannatan tabra. Or he prayed Isha in the masjid. Brother, you'd be lucky if I prayed that all that day. Or he comes home and he's telling her, look, can I pray two rakat? Like, ruh kassir. No. To show you what sort of man this person was, Abdullah. So he comes home, he says, look, do you think I can pray two rakat? And I'm sure now the sisters up there, they're thinking, Allahu Akbar, I wish my husband said that to me. She's thinking, yeah, two rakat, yani, what's two rakat? So she says, yes, of course. Pray to Allah. Maybe Allah will put barakah. He prays two rakat bi-qira'ah from Isha to Fajr. Authentic story. He prays his two rakat from Isha to Fajr and she's waiting there. Thinking, I'm a shot, two rakat. So then he finishes. She says, Khalas, it's finished now. Surely she's waking back up, fixed herself back up again. Khalas is done. She says, look, it's time for Fajr. I'll pray Fajr and come back. She says, yeah, okay. Goes, he prays Fajr, comes back. She's thinking, yeah, now something's going to happen. He says, oh, Allah, forgive me, I'm fasting today. You what? You're fasting? No, we're not fasting Ramadan. This guy's fasting on the day of his wedding. Wallahi, my brothers, 3 days in a row, he fasted the days, he prayed the nights, and his bride sat on the bed untouched for 3 days straight. So his father, Amr ibn al-As, after 3 days, he comes to visit the house, comes in, he sees his new daughter-in-law. He says, Ashur, how's Abdullah with you? She says, well, I don't know, man, you know him better than me. I'm 3 days, I've been waiting, nothing. Allah, 3 days. Allah, 3 days. I'm waiting. Nothing. He hasn't even looked at me yet. So he became that disturbed. He took him to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, Allah irda, like deal with this person, jannani, man. Abdullah fasted every single day. He used to pray all the nights. And it was then and only then when the Prophet of Allah. This is where the famous hadith comes in. Yes, this is the famous. That your body has rights and your family has rights and, you know, give to us now. He doesn't have any ibadah in his life. He says, sa'ala ilak, sa'ala rabbak, ya akhi. He was forced. So now that we understand who we're talking about, Abdullah ibn Amr, he's sitting in a gathering. And the Prophet of Allah, exactly, يعني, not exactly, يعني, Allahu A'lam, but he's sitting in a gathering. And the Prophet of Allah says to the Sahaba, he says, a man will enter the masjid now, by Allah, he's from the people of paradise. Imagine that. The Sahaba looking at each other, thinking, forget it, some big mama's about to walk in. So they look, and they see a man walk in, even his name wasn't even narrated in the hadith, yani. A nobody. I'm gonna look like that. Him. Maybe there's a mistake, right? 3 days in a row, the Prophet of Allah took an oath. A man is about to walk into the masjid. He's from the people of paradise. And for 3 days in a row, the same man walked in. So Abdullah, someone who worshipped Allah crazy, says, Khalas, man. He goes, I want to know what's so special about this guy. The Prophet of Allah has promised him paradise. For 3 days, he hasn't promised me anything. So he goes to the man, rips a big film. Sister, man, listen, man, I've had some dramas with my father, you know, and the Arab had a 3 days, and you're a guest for 3 days, that I ain't even ask you what you're doing here. He says to him, look, you know, I've had some dramas with my old man. Do you think I can stay with you until I sort of... So yes, of course, Abdullah, you know, you're a big companion. Yeah, of course, please come in. So Abdullah says, I spent 3 days with the man watching him like a hawk. This is a man who prays all night, fasts all day. He says, I thought 100% after Isha, he's going to smash the Hajjud all night. He says, he came back home, hung out with his family for a bit, went to sleep. Woke up before Fajr, prayed a bit of tahajjud. I thought, what's this? He says, maybe it was an off day. Maybe he was sick, he was tired. So he made excuses for him. He said, 100% he's going to be fasting. He said, he prayed Fajr, came home, made breakfast. He's thinking, well, what's going on here? No big tahajjud, no fasting. He says, 3 days in a row, he never fasted the days, prayed very average tahajjud. Nothing special. So Abdullah says, what's so good about this bloke? So after 3 days, Abdullah says to him, look, man, I got to be honest with you. For 3 days, the Prophet of Allah said, you are from the people of Jannah. And I struggled in my heart and I wanted to know what makes you so special. So look, I lied to you, man. I don't have any problems with my father. I wanted to watch you in your house to see what you do that is so special that made you from the people of paradise. And he says, bro, I got to be honest with you, man. There's nothing special about you, cuz. So the man says, la wallah, Abdullah, yani, as you see, man, this is my life. He says, no, you have to be doing something. He says, la wallah, it's as you see. So he says to him, look, thank you very much. My Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Packs his stuff and walks away. As Abdullah walks away, the man remembers something. He says, oh, Abdullah, there is one thing. Authentic hadith. He says, Abdullah, there is one thing. He says to him, yes. He says, every single night when I put my head on the pillow, I never fall asleep before forgiving every single Muslim in my heart. Abdullah says, by Allah, this is the action that made you from the people of paradise. This is the action that made you from the people of paradise. Forgiveness in the heart, my brothers. Let it go, man. Forgive. He owes you money. If you can forgive it, let it go. If you can't, look, of course you have right. You have every right to ask for your haq. But if they, let it go. Wallahi, let it go and watch and see how Allah will open doors for you.